Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of The Wrap-Up, a production of The Balance. Join Tom and $2 Bill Josh as they wrap up the last 24 hours of sports for you. Right now, here's Tom and $2 Bill Josh.
I am Optimus Prime, and I send this message to any surviving Autobots taking refuge among the stars. We are here. We are waiting.
Girls, my name's Tom Marquis. That's right, you have stumbled across, once again, The Balance, right here on a Saturday morning Blog Talk Radio. Right alongside me, as usual, is the man with the answers, the only $2 Bill Josh Elmore. Joshua, how are we doing on a beautiful Saturday morning in Indianapolis, Indiana?
I'm doing well. I'm excited. Today's the last time we're going to have The Balance in this particular format, at least for the foreseeable future.
Are you excited that The Balance, as the way we know it now, are going away, or are you excited that we're getting bigger and better?
I'm excited we're getting bigger and better.
That's right, Jess. And you know, one of the things that we really brought up and hammered home last week was the fact that here at The Balance, we've made some very good and positive changes, and I think that the listeners are going to really love it and really love to be a part of it. We'd love to hear your comments today, 917-889-8516. Today, we're going to do a one-hour show as we get ready and get geared up for our huge, big kickoff on August 20th of the new Balance Gridiron. And, Josh, I know that you've been working hard on getting this kickoff show going, so tell us a little bit about what the Gridiron is and what can we expect on Saturday mornings here on The Balance.
Well, the Gridiron is going to be all things football. Typically, most weeks, it's going to be 9 to 10 is college football and 10 to 11 is NFL, along with fantasy football huddle. Next Saturday, though, it's going to be 9 to 11. It's going to be the 2011 college football preview. We're going to cover the Big Ten, all the in-state schools, the top 25, and the top 10 storylines to look for in 2011, and also release our BCS Bowl projections.
Well, I'm really excited about it. And Josh brings up one point. Even though the fact that we are still we're gearing toward more of a seasonal type of show. In other words, we're in season with the sport of the time. And I know there's so many sports out there. We can't be in season with all of them. So I hope you understand why we chose football, that's where we're going to go with. And then, of course, we'll merge into basketball and baseball and as the seasons warrant. Now, keep in mind, also, if there's any breaking news or any important, really huge things to talk about, we'll make sure that we do get that in on the show because those things do take precedent. And the other thing is every day at 6 o'clock, for the exception of Wednesday, we'll be doing the daily wrap-up at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern. And we're going to have a lot – throughout the year, we're going to have a lot of exciting guests. Today we've got Gary Snyder of the Gary Snyder Show on. He's got a great show going on, so really excited to talk with him and get his insight on some of the things that are going on in the NFL and the NCAA as well. And he's got a huge national presence as well. And you can hear us all over the United States right here on Blog Talk Radio or on our website, www.thebalanceonline.com. And our website will still cover all the sports like we always have, but we really have felt like that we've grown to the point where we need to just kind of get a focus point, if you will, and that's kind of where we're at on that. Now, we're really excited about it, and I think that our fans will be as well. Now, Josh, what are some of the stories that we're working on for today, and what are some of the things that in today's headlines and Joshua's breaking news? Go ahead, Josh.
Well, coming up near the end of the show, I'm going to tell you why maybe there's a reason for a bit of concern in Bloomington, Indiana, as it appears that maybe Coach Kevin Wilson has some anger issues, and maybe he's a little bit like Bobby Knight without, you know, the 3 national championships and 902 career victories.
Okay, and we'll get in. We'll certainly get into that. And then, of course, we've got a lot of NFL to talk about tonight. The Indianapolis Colts open their preseason, boys and girls. That's right. We've got our football back, and them against the Rams tonight. So we'll be very interested, and I'd be curious to see, guys, our poll question of the day here. We really would love to hear your answers to this. Is, and you can you know, post it on Facebook, or you can give us a call here on the show and let us know, 917-889-8516. Our poll question of the day, and we'll be asking our guests every day our poll question of the day, and also we'll be asking you, the listener, to participate in it. But our poll question of the day, what will you be most interested in seeing the Colts first What will you be most interested to see in the Colts first preseason game? Will it be the free agent acquisitions, rookie draft picks, developing the Colts from last year, players returning from injury, how quickly Caldwell calls his first TO, Travis Boltz, Colts 2011 MVP, and who cares about the Colts? I want to see the Rams. That's the poll question of the day. Joshua, I pose that question to you. What will you be most interested in seeing the Colts first in the first preseason game?
Well, I don't know if it was an option, but I'm going to be most interested in seeing how Curtis Painter does. As far as the free agents go, none of them are playing tonight.
So that would be developing Colts from last year.
Yeah, it would be developing. I'm just disappointed none of our free agent signees are going to be in uniform tonight.
Yeah, well, you know, it takes the time to get the things done. I think a lot of people are wanting to see, how are these rookies going to do? How are our rookie draft picks going to do? So, Joshua, when we get back, we're going to really start breaking this down. And hopefully we've got Jason Hammer calling in of the Hammer and Nigel Marcast and give us his 2 cents worth on the Indianapolis Colts. And I know we've got Gary Snyder calling in today as well. So really excited about that going on as well. So, Josh, real quickly before we go to break, what are some of the things that you're going to be covering throughout the week in getting ready for the gridiron?
Well, I'm going to continue to keep an eye on Notre Dame, Purdue, Indiana University practice. It appears that Texas A&M and Florida State may be leaving their respective conferences and joining the SEC. And if that happens, will that mean the Big Ten will get bigger again? Will that mean that the Big 12 will finally die off?
Okay. Well, and again, Josh, it's the gridiron today, and it begins next Saturday, right, at 9 a.m. from 9 to 11. And also, go ahead, Josh. I thought you were saying something.
No, it starts next Saturday at 9 to 11. Really looking forward to it. Me and Tom have put a lot of effort into the show. We can't tell you who today, but I do believe we have all the people we invited to be hosts on the show next week, and we have an all-star lineup of hosts for our very first episode.
All right, sounds good. All right, well, when we get back, we're going to be breaking down the Colts and the Rams, as well as the NFL, and we're also going to be talking, hopefully, to Jason Hammer, but we are definitely going to be talking to Gary Snyder. So give us a hold button. Hold on to your seatbelts. This is going to be a good show. This is The Balance of Blog Talk Radio. Do you like what you hear on The Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, T-Balance. You can also send us an email at tbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Radio. My name's Tom Marquis, and always, as usual, the man with the answers right next to me is my partner in crime, Mr. $2 Bill, Josh. Josh, are we ready for some football?
I'm pumped up. The NFL is finally back. I've watched a couple preseason games the last couple of nights, but tonight the Colts finally get to put on the pads and play against somebody other than the Colts.
Absolutely. We got a lot of football to talk about, not only with the Colts, but across the NFL. Here's Brett Favre. He's done. The guy, the infamous Brett Favre has called it quits. We're going to talk a little bit about that. Also, breaking news from last night, up in Granger, Indiana, former Notre Dame football defensive coordinator and NFL player Cordon Brown was taken from his home Friday night with a self-inflicted gunshot wound after nearly a seven-hour standoff with the police. St. Joe County Metro Homicide Commander Tim Cobbett said Friday that he did not know whether or not Brown's injuries were life-threatening. Police say they heard gunshots inside the home shortly after they arrived about 1 p.m. in response to a reported domestic dispute. Brown's wife and children exited the house sometime later, and police say they began to try to talk Brown out of the home using cell phones and a bullhorn. Police said Brown, who was a tri-captain of the Michigan football team in 1992, asked to talk to several friends during the standoff. Shortly before it ended, someone could be heard saying through the bullhorn, "Be a Michigan man today. Stand up to your obligation." Several seconds later, the person said, "Please don't let me down, please, please." Moments after that, a fire truck and an ambulance rushed to the front of the house. The ambulance left moments later. Police would definitely identify the person, would not identify the person who had been talking to Brown. Police said that Brown's wife, Melissa, did have a bruise on her head, and she left the house earlier in the day where her children were also not hurt. Police could be heard urging Brown, 41, through the day to give up and give them a call. "We'd appreciate it if you'd let us know if you're okay," one officer said through the bullhorn. So basically that's what happened, and he shot himself. He was taken to the hospital. Before coming to Notre Dame, Brown was an assistant with the New York Jets at the University of Virginia. He was also Notre Dame's defensive coordinator from 2007 to 2009. He was fired along with the rest of the staff when Charlie Weiss was fired. His coach, he coached defensive back with the New England Patriots last season, but was not retained. So that's all we know on that story. But again, it's always sad when you see great coaches and great players resort to a situation of such magnitude, Josh.
Yeah, that's definitely sad. It's a tragic fallout. One time I thought he might have been the next head coach at Notre Dame University, but sometimes people make mistakes or unfortunate circumstances derail a promising career. So that's definitely a shame.
Right. Absolutely it is. Well, as we mentioned at the beginning of this segment, it is time for some Colts football, boys and girls. It is time. We are back again with the Indianapolis Colts. Colts. It's the Colts and the Rams tonight. Josh, break that game down for us. It's only preseason. I know everybody says it doesn't count, but in my mind this year it counts for a lot more than it has in years past. Let's talk about the Colts and the Rams.
Well, I'm not sure I would say this game necessarily counts. I think it's good to see Curtis Painter get some time with the first string unit. I'm anxious to see how Dallas Clark performs now that he has to wear a permanent cast on his hand, likely for the rest of his career. Whether or not that's going to affect his ability to catch the football and be the Dallas Clark of old. And if it does, will the Colts keep him? And if not, what will happen to Jacob Tammy? I'm also interested to see how much Sam Bradford has progressed or regressed during the offseason, as last year the St. Louis Rams appeared to be a team on the verge of winning that division.
Right. And, you know, going to, back to the Dallas Clark wearing a brace on his wrist all season, and you know, who knows for how much longer it'll be. And Colts, I'm a diehard Colts fan. I'm also a diehard number 44 fan. I sport his jersey. He's my guy. So it's sad to see him have an injury like this. But hopefully he'll be back to the Dallas Clark that we once knew and loved. Colts tight end Dallas Clark will be wearing a brace, as Josh talked about, on his surgically repaired right wrist. And team physicians want Clark to wear the brace throughout the season. While Clark is not thrilled with the idea, he will do it. It looks stupid, he told Mike Chappell of the Indianapolis Star. Other than that, it does the job. I'll probably wear it all year. We'll see. That's what Dallas Clark told the Indianapolis Star. So, believe me, Clark is a very big, big competitor, and I know that he wants to be out there, and he wants to be contributing, and he wants to be a part of the team. And he's such a valuable leader in the team, and he's such a valuable aspect of the team. So I think that we're going to definitely see a lot of Dallas Clark this year and a lot of the Colts. I think that we'll see a lot of things that are going on in the mix there. And we're not going to see any of the free agents. You're not going to see Peyton Manning. You're not going to see any of those big name players, but you will see them throughout the season, I'm quite sure. Now, so Josh, what are the keys to the game here tonight with the Colts and the Rams?
Well, I think Curtis Painter needs to lead the first-string offense on a touchdown-scoring drive. The one or two series that he'll be in there with Joseph Addai and Reggie Wayne and Gonzalez and Colley. And then I'm really anxious to see, can Dan Orlovsky prove that he's an NFL backup? He's been in the league for 4 years. He's not really done too much in the regular season, except for the year that Detroit went 0-16. And can he unseat Curtis Painter? And I also want to see how much progress Costanzo and Alana have made at the tackle position, and are they going to be ready to start September 11th against the Texans, or are they going to be backups this year?
Okay. Well, you know, that's all that's still left to be played out and to see how things go. Josh, what about some of the other teams? What do you think about the Chargers game? Did you get a chance to catch up on any of the games this past week?
Well, I did see the Chargers-Seahawks game, and I hate to say it, it kind of kills me to say this. Bob Sanders looks bigger, buffer, stronger, and maybe even more natural in Chargers blue than he ever looked in Colts colors. So I don't know, maybe Bob Sanders will end up being the NFL Comeback Player of the Year. Although there's also the possibility with Bob Sanders he's going to tackle somebody and injure and end up injuring himself and not the other person.
Okay. Well, I can tell you one thing for sure that the Rams are going to be ready to play against the Colts. And going back to Bob Sanders, it is weird here seeing Sanders in a different uniform than the Colts. So let's hope he doesn't choose this year to be his comeback player of the year. On the line with us is the one, the only, Mr. Gary Snyder. Gary, how you doing, sir?
I am excellent. Yourself?
I am never better. If I was any better, I'd be you, sir. I hear
nice.
That Gary Snyder. I hear the Gary Snyder Show made a national appearance throughout the week. You want to tell us a little bit about that?
Well, we had an opportunity to interview Mark Stein, and if you don't know who Mark Stein is, he's a very smart-ass British guy. But I guess that's a kind of like a double negative, an oxymoron, if you will. He fills in for Rush Limbaugh quite often. He has a new book out. He's been in a few movies, but we had the opportunity to interview him Wednesday, and he puts his we put the interview up on our website, and he puts it up on his. And I thought I had good traffic to my site until I saw over 3,000 unique visits just to his interview alone. And then we got we were sent an email and asked for permission for them to use some excerpts of that interview on Fox and Friends Thursday morning, and then a couple of other of his national interviews. So I don't know if they played it on Fox and Friends or any of the national interviews, but that was kind of cool.
Oh, that is cool. And anytime you can boost your show to a national level, it does help out help your show out a lot. Well, one of the things I wanted to pick your brain about, and I know you're kind of up there in that neck of the woods in the mix of the things, was the issue with Corin Brown that shot himself last night with the standoff with the police. And I know you get a lot of local news up there. So can you kind of – we kind of talked about it a little bit at the forefront of the show here about basically giving the basic details of what had happened with the former Notre Dame football defensive coordinator and NFL player Corin Brown. But what happened? What went on?
You know, from what I understand, there was a foreclosure on the home, and he didn't want to leave, and then it ended up being some type of domestic dispute. His wife and children were not there at the time. They kept trying to get him to come out all day, and it's pretty much what you've already reported. They heard what they thought was a gunshot. They went in. The ambulance arrived real quick. They took him to the hospital there at St. Joseph Hospital up in Notre Dame. And it's kind of weird because they're not giving any update on whether he was killed or whether he's just in some kind of serious condition.
Okay. Well, so, and I guess the bigger overlying question is there's so much when people like this fall, as we know that he was not retained by the Patriots, and he just after Charlie Weiss failed, is there so much pressure and status that's evolved around these coaches and players that when a particular job or financial situation changes, does it become this destitute of a situation for him? Is it that bad, or do you think this is an isolated incident?
Well, it's bad enough when it happens to just the normal Joe. And when you take an individual like him and look at how he's been brought up, how he's been basically coddled his whole life, used to having everything handed to him on a silver platter, used to, you know, have the notoriety and being famous, and then that's taken away. And then you're faced with the foreclosure of your home. You know, some of these individuals that are coaches or football players or athletic stars, they've never had to face this kind of adversity before. You know, adversity of life, not on the field. And it just appears that this guy just could not deal with the adversity of life like most of us have learned to do, you know, growing up. And you know, he just could not deal with that type of adversity, and you know, you have to be in a pretty desperate place to shoot yourself.
Right, absolutely, and I've said this on the show before, and I've certainly heard other sports talk show hosts talk about this very same thing. They go through their whole life, and I think this is a lesson as parents and as coaches and stuff that we can learn. When you're at the little league level and the young developmental leagues with these players, it probably helps them in the long run, especially when you have very gifted children who have very gifted talent, to tell them no once in a while and to let them sit on the bench and let them – feel the pressures of the game, because what happens is they go through their whole life, oh, we got such a great star, we got such a great gifted child here, and we don't tell them no, the colleges don't tell them no, and then they get to the NFL level, and then it's just it just compounds after that. So don't you think that when we have our young gifted children and they are beginning to really display attributes of being great stars, that we actually take some time to say no to them, and that would probably help them in the long run, don't you think?
Well, yeah. You know, I try to do that with my children, and while my children are definitely gifted, I don't think they're gifted in a way that will land them in a professional sport someday. I still have hope for my son as a hockey player, but my guess is he'll just be a goon on the ice. I mean, these kids are told how great they are now, starting, you know, at the ages of 7, 8, 9, 10. And, you know, they go through high school just sliding by, not facing, you know, adversity off the field. They go through college having everything handed to them and not experiencing that adversity off the field. Because, don't get me wrong, they experience adversity on the field. But that's something they can control. They can control whether they play harder. They can control the aspects of their life on the field. It's when they get off the field and can't control or have any control over their life is when they seem to lose it a little bit. And obviously this guy, and again, I don't know the circumstances of his life, but you just see it so many times where people that have been put in a position of power or celebrity or whatever the case is, and you start having issues off the field, they just cannot cope with it.
You're absolutely right. Well, we're going to move on over to the Indianapolis Colts and the Rams starting preseason. Josh, do you have anything you want to pick your brain, Gary's brain, on the Colts and the Rams tonight?
Well, what I'm interested in seeing, and I don't know what you're feeling on this, is do you think Dan Orlovsky actually has a chance, a realistic chance, to unseat Curtis Painter as the number two quarterback, or do you think the Colts have basically handed that to Painter and there's nobody that can take it from him?
Well, I'm hoping they haven't handed it to him. You know, Curtis Painter has not really proved himself in the NFL, whatever his name is, the guy that went 0-16, you know, I watched him play in that season, and, you know, he was not necessarily the reason that team lost 16 games in a row. He had his moments where he played pretty well and was in quite a few games. And I think as a backup, you know, I have to look at somebody who has been on the field and experienced a starting role for, you know, granted, it was losing 16 games. He's 0-16 as a starter. But that's got to count for something when it comes to a backup role. And when it comes to just pure ability and decision-making on the field, you know, I think that's where the backup role will be fought.
Well, one other thing, when we're talking about new players being brought to the Indianapolis Colts, rumor has it that T.J. Houshmandzadeh was in Indianapolis last night, all decked out in his suit. It was seen going into some a nice restaurant downtown, which I'll keep nameless, with some leaders of the Colts organizations, we'll put it that way. The official statement is it was just a dinner among friends and not more needs to be read into it. But I find it highly suspect that here we are a night before a preseason game opening up. We're talking about new players that are coming to the Colts. And all of a sudden, Houshmandzadeh comes to Indianapolis and decides to have dinner among friends who just happen to be leaders of the Colts. Does that sound like a coincidence to either one of you two?
Well, I don't know if it's a coincidence. But here's the thing. I don't know that T.J. Houshmandzadeh, even if he signed with the Colts, would get on the field if Gonzalez and Colley and Garcon were healthy. He's a decent player, and he certainly had some numbers in Cincinnati. He's not going to unseat Reggie Wayne. I wouldn't say he's better than Colley. He might be better than Gonzalez, but I'm not sure Gonzalez is even one of the Colts' top three wide receivers this year, so I don't know if there'd be a spot for him on the field if he did sign, unless maybe he's going to return kicks and punts.
What are your thoughts, Gary?
Well, T.J. Houshmandzadeh obviously had a pretty good career in Cincinnati. Fell off a little bit. Where was it? Up in Seattle, I believe.
Yeah, I think he was in Seattle last year.
It was Seattle, right? Mm-hmm.
But you know,
was it Seattle? Was it Baltimore?
I thought it was Baltimore.
It was either Seattle or Baltimore. I'll check on that. But
now, you know, it's always been my contention, and I kind of like to tie politics into sports. As in politics and in sports, nothing happens by accident.
You're right.
Nothing happens by quiz. Everything happens for a reason. And if this guy was in town having dinner at either St. Elmo's or wherever it was, there is no way it was just by coincidence to have dinner with some friends of the Colts.
Yeah, exactly. And I think there's some discussions going on. Although, I think this would be an interesting signing. I don't know that it's necessarily a bad one. I'd rather them, if they're going to sign somebody like that, I'd rather them sign Randy Moss or somebody. But what about Houshmandzadeh playing safety? I mean, there certainly is a good position out there, and he has the size and the speed to be able to do that. What about maybe they're talking to him about playing a position like safety, for example?
I don't think you sign a veteran of the NFL that has had years playing wide receiver and paying that kind of money to having tryout for safety.
Right, and I agree. And here's the thing. My thing is, if the Colts are really serious about signing Hoosh, it likely means that Blair White is probably far more injured than we've ever been led to believe. He hasn't practiced in training camp because of the back injury. Or they have no faith in their depth, like Josh was saying, Reggie Wayne, Pierre Garçon, Austin Colley, Gonzalez. I mean, they don't have the faith in them that we do. So it'd be interesting to see how
Gonzalez has never really panned out. He was supposed to be that Brandon Stokley-type slot receiver. And Austin Colley, as much as he's a fan favorite, you know, if he jumps too high and lands wrong, he gets a concussion now. So you want to, you know, have some depth there, because while Garçon and Reggie Wayne have been healthy and been performers, the other two, whether through injury or not living up to expectations, you know, there's that big question mark there. And it can't hurt to have someone of TJ's stature playing either that second wide receiver or slot.
I would have to agree. Here's the way I would sum up Anthony Gonzalez. He's kind of like the Jonathan Bender at the Indianapolis Colts. You know, when Bender is with the Pacers, he looked like he had the potential, and he showed it from time to time, to be a Hall of Fame, All-Star, one of the game's greats, and he's never panned out. Gonzalez has shown he has the strength to be an elite in a NFL-wide receiver, but whether it be injuries, inconsistency, he's never really panned out. So I think he's another one of those, he has the talent, but we'll never get to see it.
Well, we're going to be right back, and when we get back, we're still gonna, Gary, can you stick around? I know you're on a time schedule today.
My wife is downstairs, just sitting there with her arms
yelling at you, okay,
and tapping. And our van broke down, and it just got fixed. And since I have six kids and we have to go school shopping today, it's a lot better to go get that van and shove them all in there instead of a 97 Toyota Camry.
I am with you 100%. We look forward to having you back on The Balance, especially next week once the college gridiron gets started, Gary. You have a safe trip, and we'll talk to you soon.
Look forward to it.
All right. All right, guys, when we get back, Josh and I will spend the last half hour of the show today talking about a little bit about the MLB and really getting a taste of what's coming up next week on the college gridiron. This is The Balance on Blog Talk Radio.
To
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions, work with them today. Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, T-Balance. You can also send us an email at tbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Welcome back to The Balance. My name's Tom Marquis, your host, and right alongside me is the man, the only, the guy, the wizard behind the curtain, Mr. $2 Bill Josh Elmore. We were just talking with Gary Snyder of The Gary Snyder Show. What a great time we always have with him, and what a great insight that he always brings to the show. And so glad that he could give us a little bit of an insight, since he lives up there in the neck of the woods and was really able to get a hold of some of the local news concerning Corin Brown, and really appreciate his input on that in the story. And always, always good to talk with him about the Colts and of course, college football. And we'll really get into a lot with that coming up on the College Gridiron starting next week. Joshua, are you ready?
I am ready. I'm pumped up. It's one more week to make sure we have all the fine-tuning and finishing touches and the guests confirmed in their time slots, and it should be great fun moving forward.
All right, absolutely. All right, well, now, Josh, we've talked about the Colts. We know that the Colts, the Rams, they get together tonight. Tell us a little bit about how somebody can watch that game, listen to that game, and what time it starts, or can they get out to watch the game?
Well, they could drive
over
to
St. Louis. It'll be at St. Louis, obviously, but go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
They could drive over to St. Louis if they want to fight at half fire and plans for this evening. Maybe me and Tom would drive over and watch the game in St. Louis. You could tune in the Indianapolis area to Channel 10 or my network TV 23. On cables, typically Channel 10. It'll be on 1070, The Fan. I'm sure you can listen to the audio on Colts.com or Rams.com, and I'm sure it'll be on the St. Louis Rams CBS affiliate.
That's right.
So.
And I'll tell you, one quick diversion here. I'm going to be actually down at the World Drum Choral Championships. And I'll tell you what, we talk about a lot of different sports around here, but I tell you, this is a huge sport, and it's a big thing every year. And we're going to be down there. We're going to go to the parade here today as well. So the Balance is going to be covering that. I'll have pictures of it on the website. And if you ever, now one of the things that I like most about it, when you go to college football games and you watch college football or college basketball games, one of the things that you guys would notice most about is the bands and the drums. And you know, I just think that it just gives us that feel of the game, if you will. And so they actually have their own division of sporting, if you will, and championships. And the World Championships are here in Indianapolis tonight. And I'm going to be privileged to be down there and be down there at the parade today. So I'll have pictures posted on the website for that as well. So if you guys want to come down to Lucas Oil Stadium tonight, check out the drum corps. It is really, really an awesome sight to see. Okay, Josh, moving over to the MLB. Bring us up to speed, brother.
Well, last night, Carlos Zambrano of the Chicago Cubs was ejected in the eighth inning. And apparently he went into the clubhouse and he cleaned out his locker. And he told the team personnel director or team personnel representative, I'm retiring. And he left the clubhouse before the game was over. Now, I don't know about anybody else, but I think that's unprofessional. And if whether he was serious about retiring or not, if I was the Cubs, I'd go, you know what? This is the third, fourth, fifth straight year. You've decided to be a distraction. Stay home. I don't want you here. I don't want to see you. If you want to come to Wrigley, you can buy a ticket, although I'd rather you not even really buy a ticket. Just stay away.
I could not agree with you more. And you know, and this isn't the first time that we've seen the Big Z have the big meltdown. I don't know if there's something more going on there than what we know about. But really, let's move on. And I'm so tired of hearing about Carlos Zambrano. Whatever. Dude, go retire and let's play some baseball. All you're doing is creating a distraction for a team that already has enough distractions as it is. So yeah, I'm with Josh. Let's go ahead and I think he'll actually be doing the Cubs a favor. And you know what? I'm not a Cubs fan. I'm a Cardinals fan. My wife's a Cubs fan, but you know, here's the thing. I as much as I hate the Cubs, I'm beginning to hate Carlos Zambrano even more. So, Carlos, don't come back. I mean, nobody wants to see you. Nobody wants to talk to you. I know that you're really just a huge distraction, and do your team a huge favor and just stay gone. Now, we don't know if that's actually going to happen. That's just my opinion. Now, Let's talk about those Boston Red Sox. What's going on with those, buddy?
Well, briefly, last Friday night, the Yankees took the lead in the division. But since then, the Red Sox restored their two-game lead in the division, looking like they're on cruise control, especially with the New York Yankees. This should be CC Sabathia and four question marks. Although when it comes to the Boston Red Sox this year, CC Sabathia's 0-4 hasn't even been competitive. The Red Sox have kind of taken to the woods, and I don't know if you remember a few years ago, Tom, the Yankees had a shirt that said, Pedro, who's your daddy? I think it's time the Red Sox get one that says, CC, who's your daddy?
I agree with you. I agree with you. And I tell you what, the Yankees had a rough time against the Rays last night, so it's always good to see what happens out there in the American League. Around the American League yesterday, obviously Detroit over Baltimore, Washington in the American League. Cleveland yet again pulled out another win over Minnesota. LA Angels over Toronto, and those Royals, I tell you what, those Kansas City Royals always come up with that last bit of oomph left, and they had a pretty good win over the Chicago White Sox, winning 5-1. So I like the Royals. Going back from a kid, I always enjoyed watching the Kansas City Royals. They're one of those teams that don't get a lot of attention, kind of like the Pittsburgh Pirates. But when they win, they're doing well. Of course, the Rangers are still dominating the American League West with a 9-1 win over Oakland. And I tell you, we said this here on the show before, I really, really, really look for those Texas Rangers to make an appearance. That would do me good. I tell you what, this is a stretch, but to see a Rangers and Pittsburgh Pirates World Series would be a great World Series to watch all the way around. And, of course, Josh, your Boston Red Sox beat the Seattle Mariners, as you know, as well. Going over to the National League, the Washington Nationals over the Philadelphia Phillies 4-1 over there in my National League Central, Cincinnati Reds over the San Diego Padres 5-3, Florida takes one 2-1 over San Francisco Giants. Those again, we're going to talk about the Atlanta Braves. They always, this time of year, start dominating. This is no different against the Cubs, 10-4, and they went out there. My Cardinals win against the Rockies, 6-1, and out there on the West Coast, the Dodgers, in spite of it all, Josh, in spite of it all, the Dodgers are finding a way to put a string of wins together, and wow, wouldn't it be something if the Dodgers end up in the playoffs after all of this that has happened with the Dodgers? And we're going to try to get Mark Timmons on at some point as well, talk to him a little bit about the Dodgers here in the near future. So that's what's going on in the wrap-up of the scores of the MLB. Now, Josh, any other top stories in the MLB that you want to chat about?
I think job that Kirk Gibson has done with the Arizona Diamondbacks has been an outstanding job. You know, the Diamondbacks last year, they finished last in the division. We all remember Kirk Gibson. Well, I'm not old enough to remember. I believe it was the 87 World Series where he had the broken leg or the broken ankle. Something was wrong with his knee. Something was wrong with his leg, though. And he came in the bottom of the ninth inning, and he hit the home run. He's kind of been a home run hire for the Arizona Diamondbacks. I think he's had an outstanding job. But by the way, Tom, what is the story with Kirk Gibson in the World Series? I just remember seeing him whipping around the bases.
I don't know. I don't know the whole story on that. But I had a total Saturday morning brain fart there, Josh. But anyway, I'm getting all geared up for college gridiron. Now, one of the things I do want to talk about real quickly here is let's give Ron Santo his Hall of Fame. I mean, it is time that he gets into the Hall of Fame. Josh, what do you think real quickly about Ron Santo not getting his dues?
Well, I think it's time to put him into the Hall of Fame, but I think there's several people that need to be in the Hall of Fame. I'm not quite sure what. Who gets to determine whether you get to be in the Hall of Fame or not in the Hall of Fame. But there's Ron Santo. And I'm even going to say this is kind of a different situation. Don't reinstate Pete Rose, but put Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame. He wasn't accused of gambling as a player, so don't reinstate him to baseball. But put him in the Hall of Fame. What would you think of it?
Well, right, and here's the thing. I honestly, there again, it goes back to me being a Cub fan, but Santos has earned his right in the Hall of Fame. I don't know. I've never been a big fan, Josh, of the sports writers having the control of who goes in the Hall of Fame. Because, there again, and our whole premise of our show is based on the fans, but the fans are what makes good players good players. Yes, they can go out there and play whether or not there was any fans or not. But come on now. We all know that the fans play a big part in a player's career. Well, guys, we're wrapping up here in the last segment of the show. We're going to take a break. When I come back, Josh, you've got the helm for the last 15 minutes of the show. Like I mentioned, I've got to head on downtown Indianapolis to the Drum Corps Parade and get ready to go to the Drum Corps Championship. I'll be down there all day long. Josh, when we get back, Josh is going to take you through the College Gridiron. He is going to be the host for the last 15 minutes of the show. And just to keep in mind, Josh and I will still be co-hosting the show together, but Josh is going to take the lead on the College Gridiron, and we're going to let him take the reins, so hopefully he doesn't wreck the car too bad. When we get back, Josh, take it over, and don't wreck the car. We'll talk to you later. And as always, check us out on Monday nights at 6 o'clock Eastern for the Balance Wrap-Up. And we're going to wrap up everything that's happened over this last weekend right here on Blog Talk Radio. When we get back, Josh and College Gridiron Preview is right around the corner. Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, TBalance. You can also send us an email at tbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fastlane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions, work with them today.
It's time to start.
And you're on, Josh.
Sorry, we had a bit of technical difficulty there. What I wanted to talk about today was what happened on Thursday morning between Coach Kevin Wilson and Jack Trudeau, former quarterback of the Indianapolis Colts. So on Thursday morning, Kevin Wilson calls in. You know, he's a new IU football coach, and he calls into the Zach and Jack show. And Jack Trudeau, who played quarterback over at the University of Illinois, and he also played for the Indianapolis Colts, was giving him a hard time about how, you know, when Trudeau was at Illinois and they played Indiana University, he didn't think that Indiana University had ever scored against him. And so Kevin Wilson, he said something to the effect of, "I'm busy, I don't have time for you losers, what is it that you want me to call in and talk about?" And so they started going back and forth about how Illinois was so much better than Indiana University at football. And the way I gathered is Kevin Wilson just hung up. He got really angry. He had a few harsh words for Trudeau, and then he hung up the phone. And Jack Trudeau, and he's in the media, so he knows better than this. At the end of the interview, he goes, "Well, I'll just go call my good friend Ron Zook over at University of Illinois and tell him to run up the score against Indiana University." And this is a lose-lose situation, okay? You're in the sports media, kind of like me and Tom are, and Gary Snyder. You should know better than to say you're going to call the head coach of a team and tell them to run up a score against your opponent. That's classless, that's untactful, that's disrespectful, unprofessional, and kind of silly and childish. But as an Indiana University fan, I can get past Jack Trudeau making fun of Indiana University football on the radio. We are IU football fans. We're used to it. We've heard it all before. What scares me is that a couple days after Kevin Wilson was hired as the head football coach at Indiana University, he cussed out and berated a dorm RA because he dealt with an alcohol-related issue before he gave Coach Kevin Wilson some directions. I believe the story goes he was lost and he was trying to find the room he was staying in for the weekend. And he started cussing him out, and he berated the RA. Okay, you chalk that up. He just left Oklahoma. He's new at Indiana University. He's stressed out. He's been up for hours. He had to work out a contract, talk to the media, meet his new team, tell his old team goodbye. So, okay, that was one incident. You could maybe overlook that, and you could write it off as he was just stressed out at the time. Now, I know maybe it was a bit classless of Jack Trudeau to call out Indiana University to poke fun at him on the radio show. I don't know that he really at the beginning meant anything by it. What scares me as an Indiana University fan, though, is, come on, coach. You can't yell and cuss out and berate anybody who happens to say something you may not like about Indiana University football. That's not acceptable. And it's starting to appear a little Bobby Knightish. Now, Fred Glass said that Coach Wilson has his full support moving forward. He's not worried about it. And then this is Fred Glass's first big hire. If you remember right, Tom Crean was hired by Rick Greenspan. He was already there when Fred Glass took over. So Kevin Wilson is Fred Glass's first big attempt to shake up the athletic department to put his guy in place. But this is from the same school that had Bobby Knight as the head coach, you know, famous throwing chairs across the court, getting into it with reporters. He got fired for putting his hands on a student. No, I'm not saying that Coach Wilson will or will not win at Indiana University. I personally think that he has a chance to make him into a great program. I don't know if he'll ever win a national championship at Indiana University. The bigger issue is you cannot have Kevin Wilson going around berating and cussing out people whenever he sees fit. He's no longer the offensive coordinator, the assistant football coach. He's the head coach. He's expected to ask for class, dignity, tact, professionalism. Now, I'm proud that he's standing up for Indiana University football. I think that's part of what will make Indiana University football better. But come on, coach. There's seriously a better way to handle things than you did on the radio show the other day. Now, coming up next Saturday at 9 a.m., we're going to do our 2011 Gridiron Today college football preview. We're going to talk about each of the schools in the Big Ten, from Nebraska to IU, from Iowa to Penn State, and every school in between. We're going to talk about Notre Dame. We're going to talk about Ball State. We're going to talk about week one matchups. We're going to release the top 25. I won't release the whole top 25 today, but the balance's top two teams in the top 25 are Oklahoma and Alabama, and we'll release the rest of the top 25 next Saturday. We're going to release our BCS Bowl projections, who we believe will play in the national title game, the Rose Bowl, the Sugar Bowl, the Fiesta Bowl, and the Orange Bowl, as well as the Cotton Bowl and the Gator Bowl, which aren't BCS Bowls, but I believe they're the two biggest non-BCS Bowls. I'm going to tell you the top 11 players to watch in college football in the 2011 season. We're going to give you our Heisman Trophy candidates, who we believe will win the Heisman Trophy. I'm going to tell you how I think Indiana University will do, how we think Notre Dame University will do, how we think Purdue University will do. Some teams to watch for, some teams that will surprise people in 2011, some teams that will disappoint. We're going to get into this issue of when is enough enough. Now you have Texas A&M and Florida State talk about leaving the Big 12 and the ACC respectfully and going over to join the SEC, and then that's going to cause the Pac-10 to expand and the Big Ten to expand to where maybe eventually you only have three or four college football conferences at all, well, major conferences. When is enough expansion enough, and when did we get back to being about being a student athlete, not an athlete student? And we're also going to get into the issue of, does the NCAA really care about protecting the rules or protecting the image? And part of the reason I think they care about protecting the image more than they do the rule book is last year, the five Ohio State Buckeyes were suspended for the first five games of this year, with the exception of Terrell Pryor, who has left school, were allowed to play in the Sugar Bowl. So whatever they did is serious enough that they have to miss the first five games of this year. But they were allowed to play in the Sugar Bowl last year. And then you had the whole Cam Newton situation last year. Then you had the whole Jim Tressel situation. You had the USC situation. You have North Carolina and Auburn. My question is, and I want some callers to call in next week and give us your perspective. At the end of the day, is the NCAA really about the best interest of the student athlete and protecting the rule book? Or is NCAA about making money and protecting its image? You can't have it both ways. Either you're about protecting the rule book, or you're about protecting your image, and you just need to go ahead and make the college players professionals anyway. So that is all coming up next Saturday at 9 a.m. on the debut issue of the College Gridiron Today. Me and Tom are very, very excited about it. We've been spending about the last 5 or 6 weeks booking guests, coming up with the schedule, reworking the show, figuring out how all this is going to work. So next Saturday at 9 a.m. is going to be the debut of the College Gridiron Today. I know me and Tom will be here. Also, Gary Snyder will be on the show. We hope to have Jason Hammer on the show with us and several other guests. We'll be on the debut issue of the College Gridiron Today, and that's coming up next Saturday at 9 a.m. If you need something to watch tonight, Colts Rams at 8. NFL Network has Packers Browns at 7:30. That's live. As the defending Super Bowl champion Green Bay Packers open against Cleveland Browns, coached by first-year head coach Pat Shurmur. There's also some MLB baseball on Fox today. This week, an IndyCar returns to New Hampshire for the first time in a decade. And NASCAR is at Watkins Glen in New York, which is always a fabulous road course race. So there's plenty of sports to watch.